Good morning. Today's Daf and Yomah Nun Beis. We are on the very top of Nun Beis Amud Aleph. We're starting with the words of Rabbi Nassim, four lines down. The Kohen Gadol is walking now into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He is armed, literally armed. He's got two items that he's carrying with him. In his right hand, he's got a shovel with the coals. In the left hand, he's got the kaf, a spoon filled with ketores. He already did the chafina. He transferred it over from his two cupped hands into the spoon. And now he's walking. He is going from the Azara, and he's going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which by definition means that he's going to be walking through the Heichal. That path that he's going to be walking in the Heichal, so that was a big discussion yesterday in terms of what exactly the path that he's going to take in order to get from the Azara into the Heichal. So as we pointed out yesterday, it's going to be really based on a machlokas that we saw in the Mishnah in yesterday's daf. The Mishnah in Yuma on an Alpha Mudbeis. So the Mishnah brings down the opening to get from the Kosher to the Kosher Kadashim is going to be on what side? Is it going to be on the north side and the south side? It's a machlokas. And that machlokas is really predicated on, was there one partition or were there two curtains? So machlokas between the Tanakama and Rav Yossi of yesterday's daf. According to the Tanakama, it was two curtains. Two curtains are going to create the partition, the division between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Say the word Kodesh over here in the context of our discussion. We mean the Heichal. The Kodesh HaKadoshim obviously is the area that has the most Kedusha, that is what is housing the Aron. So for the Kohen Gadol now to walk from the Kodesh into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so he has to now get past two curtains. The openings of the two curtains are not on the same side. The opening from the Heichal is on the south side. The opening in the Kodesh HaKadoshim is on the north side. So therefore, a walk for him would mean that he would necessarily have to enter into the south side, walk between the two curtains, and then he's on the north side. And later this morning, we're going to go through the Mishnah in terms of that path that he took. That's coming up in just a little bit. On the other hand, according to Rav Yossi, there was a partition that separated the Kodesh and Kodesh HaKadoshim. It was one wall. It's described as the Amatraxin. Now, even according to the Tanakama, he agrees that once upon a time there was an Amatraxin when dealing with the Mishkan, when dealing with the Bais Rishon. So there was an Amatraxin. There was this thick wall, that partition between the two. But according to Rav Yossi, seemingly also in the second base of Mikdash, there also was an Amatraxin. Where's the opening? The opening's on the north side. And so if you remember yesterday, if you recall, so we had a debate amongst the Tanayim exactly how that path that he would take, what would be the flight path of the Kohen Gadol as he's going from the Kodesh to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So obviously, if you subscribe to the idea that the entrance is on the north side, so he's going to take a route that's going to go more northbound. If, however, the entrance was on the south side, so then, as you can guess, he's going to be taking a route that's going to be more southern. Even the ones who subscribe to that he takes a southern route, he's not going to be hugging the southern wall, as we explained yesterday. You have the menorah burning in the south. The wall, the southern wall of the Heichal is covered with soot. And if he just hugs the southern wall, so then his clothing is going to get dirty. So that's not going to be an option. So basically he's going to flank the Mizbeach on the southern side. The menorah he's going to be seeing on his left as he's walking. And then ultimately, of course, he's going to get to the southern entrance of the two parochas, of the two curtains. Okay, these two curtains, so how narrow is that gap, that lane between the two curtains? So it's really narrow. It is going to be an amma. Okay, just enough, or just wide enough in order for the Kohen Gadol to pass through. Okay, if you could just try to visualize. You can imagine now that as he's walking between the two curtains, so it is basically the width of his body, right? Generally speaking, throughout Shas, the Gemara describes that the width of a human body is an amma. So it's basically with the width of his body. But keep in mind also that he's also carrying a shovel full of coals and a large spoon, right? Almost like a bowl of ketores. So I can imagine that that is a that might be a little bit tricky, but that's the pathway that he's going to take. Okay, that's all that we covered yesterday, just in terms of a basic review. Let's pick it up where we left off yesterday. So, I'm Rabbi Nassan, top of Nun Beis Amud Aleph. Amatraxin lo ichriya bo chachamim o kalifnim o kalachutz. So the amatraxin. So again, the amatraxin, what we described yesterday. So that's the amma partition. So it, according to the Tanakhama of our mission, it didn't exist in the second base of Mikdash, and therefore, in the absence of the Amitraxin, so you had two curtains, and those two curtains went ahead and flanked the area. But the Amitraxin area itself, meaning we're just looking at the actual area that it consumed. So the Amitraxin area, does that have the status of the Kodesh, or does that have the status of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So Rabbi Nosson said, we don't know. So the Chachamim didn't come to a conclusion. Ikalifnim, Okalachutz. Does it have the status of the Heichal? Does it have the status of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So Maskavla Ravina, my time up. So Ravina would like to analyze this. Why? Why don't we know what status does it have? So Elim and Mishum Dechsiv. So maybe it's based on interpretation of Pesukim. That could be. So the Gemara says, I don't think that's it. Well, let's go through some of the Pesukim. So over here, the Pesukim in Sefer Melachim, a description of Bais Rishon. So the Pasuk says, V'abayis asher banah melech shlomo la'ashem, shishim ama arko v'esrim rachva v'shloshim ama kamaso. So in terms of basic dimensions of the first base of Mikdash, it was 60 amas wide, 60 amas long, 20 amas wide, and a height of 30 amas. Uksiv arbeim ba'ama haya bais. So then we have another pasuk describing how this 60 amas of length are going to be further subdivided. You have one pasuk describing 40 amas. Uksiv lifnei advir esrim ama orech v'esrim ama rochev esrim ama kamaso. And then in terms of when you're in the devir, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or I should say better, lifnim min ha-devir, so when you are in more interior, what we describe as the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so it's going to be 20 by 20 by 20. 20 long, 20 wide, so it's kind of, not kind of, it's a square. Also, it's 20 high, so fine. Veloya de'inan. So now, here's what we know. In the description, the first base of Mikdash is 60 amas long, and of that 60 amas, it's divided 40-20. And so now there is an Amitraxin. So this Amitraxin, which obviously is there to partition between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So now which border is it on? Is it on the Kodesh side or is it on the Kodesh HaKadoshim side? V'lo yid'inan Amitraxin, imahani esrim, v'imahani arba'im. Is it part of the 20? Is it part of the 40? So the Gemara says, so maybe that could be the debate. So we have all the Pesukim in front of us, and we now know the dimensions of the first base of Mikdash, and now this Amitraxin, so is it part of 40, is it part of 20? The Gemara says, maybe that's the debate. The Gemara says, nah. V'duma lo mahani asrim v'lo mahani arbaim, v'chalal kachashiv kosim lo kachashiv. So the Gemara says, you know, this approach that we're trying out, this approach doesn't work at all. The numbers that are given to us in the Pesukim are not including the wall space. The numbers are just talking about the interior. These measurements are just talking about the interior from wall to wall, but doesn't include the actual space that's consumed by the wall itself. And Teda. And the Gemara says, and you know what? We're right about this. Why? Because any time that we're going to be giving measurements and we're counting for the walls are getting their own measurements. Now, how do I know that? Not because we have a Mishnah. And basically what we're going to learn together is this Mishnah. This Mishnah is going to be a description of Baisheni. Now, it's interesting because what we're basically going to show, or we'll run through the Mishnah together, is that when the Mishnah goes ahead and counts the linear measurement of the Beis HaMikdash, so you're going to see that the wall space is counted independent of the interior area. Now, could very well be that the Mishnayos are, you know, do count the wall space, and maybe the Pesukim don't count the wall space. But the Gemara does not think like that. The Gemara thinks that whatever the Mishnayos are doing, so the Pesukim are doing the same thing. So if the Mishnayos, which we're going to show in just a moment, really clearly, accounts for the walls independent of the actual interior area, so we're going to say the same thing about the Pesukim as well. Pesukim do the same thing. With that stated, so then we're going to have to go back, after we go through the Mishnah Midos, we're going to have to go back and we're going to have to give an entirely different approach in terms of what the suffix was. Let's just quickly run through the Mishnah Midos. So in terms of the Heichal, the second base of Mikdash, it was 100 by 100 by 100. 100 amas high, right? We just covered this the other day, talking about from the it was, in terms of height, there were two floors. Each floor was made up of 50. The interior of the first floor was 40 amas high. Remember, that was the way Rashi described it a couple days ago. That was the difficulty, the real challenge of making a physical wall partition between the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. because it's just simply too high, 40 amas high. If you can imagine, somewhere hovering between 60 to 80 feet high in the air. Okay, that's really high. The entire base of Mikdash, second base of Mikdash, in terms of its height, 100 amas. Again, that could be somewhere within the ballpark of 20 stories high. You're talking about a big building. In terms of length, in terms of depth, it's 100 by 100. Now, the 100 by 100 is a little bit confusing if you know the second base of Mikdash. So you know it's not a square shape. It's a T shape. But basically, from the longest length and the longest width, it's 100 by 100. Okay, if you have a picture in front of you, that'd be very helpful. Anyway, again, we're only quoting the Mishnah over here because we're just showing very clear evidence that the walls are counted independent of the interior airspace. So the Gemara says, Kosel Ulam Chamesh. And here we are now. What we're going to basically do is that we're going to go linear measurement from the east to the west. So the Kosel, the wall of the Ulam itself is 5 Amas, V'Ulam Achas Asrei, and the actual interior space of the Ulam is 11. Kosel Eichel Sheish, and then the walls of the Eichel 6, V'Arko Arbaim Amah. Then you're going to go in another 40 Amas, V'Amatraxin, and then you're going to have the Amatraxin, V'Chaf Amah, Base Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then 20 Amas of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Kosel Eichel Sheish. The wall of the Eichel is 6, we're all the way on the west side. And V'hatash Sheish, and we're talking now about the offices. The office space that went around the entirety of the Heichal on the north and west and south side. So V'hatash Sheish, that's six amas. V'hakosel, hatach chamesh. And then the wall of the office is another 5. Okay, now I didn't keep a running sum total. Do the math, it works out. It's 100 amas. The point of all this is that clearly over here in this Mishnah Midos, so the walls are accounted in of themselves. So now when we go back to the Pasuk in Malachim, and we're taking a look now at the dimensions of the first base of Mikdash, so the Psukim over here, when talking about 20 and 40, are just talking about the interior airspace, and they're not talking about the length of the walls. And so therefore, once again, you said that by the Amatraxin, I don't know. Is that the status of the Heichal? Does it have the status of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? And you pointed to the Psukim in Malachim Aleph. The Gemara says the Psukim in Malachim Aleph does not affect the discussion whatsoever because they're only describing the interior airspace and not where the wall lies. So let's try again. Let's give another shot in terms of what the suffix is. So Ela Kedusha Sei Kalafimi Kalachutz. So the Gemara says it's very simple. What it comes down to is that look, obviously the wall space, it's a full Amma. The wall space is now going to be the partition between the Kosher and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And it's just a simple question of what, and it doesn't incorporate the 20, nor does it incorporate the 40. It's just now a question of what status does that wall space have? Now, under normal circumstances, it doesn't affect us whatsoever. Because again, in the Mishkan, in the first base of Mikdash, there was actual physical wall there. But in the second base of Mikdash, where there was no physical wall there, and it was just a curtain on each side of where the wall once was. So now, the question affects us. Does it have the status of kosher? Does it have the status of Kodesh HaKadoshim? V'hainu damar Rav Yochanan by Yosef Ish Hutzal. So now, Rav Yochanan says, good. So this affects the question of Yosef Ish Hutzal. The Pasuk says, we're going back to the Pesukim in Malachim Aleph, Udvir Besoch HaBayis Mi Panima, Hachin L'sitan Sham Esaron B'S Hashem. Okay, so, the Pasuk says that the Devir that's in the house, Mi Panima, interior from it. So what you can do is you're going to prepare that area in order to put the Aron. So Ibailo Echikam Akram. And now what we're going to do is that we're going to have a little bit of a struggle in terms of how to read the Pasuk, and not how to read the Pasuk, but how to punctuate the Pasuk and where to put the proper inflection. So Udvir Beisech Habayis Mi Panima, Hachin L'sitan Sham. So the Dvir HaBayis, as Rashi points out over here, we're really struggling in terms of where to put the comma. And look at the Rashi, Hechi Kama Kra. Mi Amrin and Hachi Kama. The first possibility, which the Gemara over here just went over, I'm reading the Rashi, Udvir Besoch HaBayis. The Dvir is Besoch HaBayis. And Rashi says, Mechitza Asei, Shemafsekes Besoch HaBayis. What you're going to do is that you're going to create a wall, the partition, what we call the Amatraxin. So, And where are you going to put it? Mi penima hachin. And Rashi says, v'lifnim me osa mechitza hachin makom. when you're interior of that wall, so that's going to be the makam, that's going to be the area, meaning the area interior of the wall is a Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's one possibility. Or the other possibility, Odomo, we're back in the Gemara, Hachi Kamar, Udvir Besoch HaBayis Mi Penima. That the Dvir Besoch HaBayis Mi Penima, the Penima is modifying the wall. The wall's going to be interior. Okay, so the question is very simple. So we're basically trying to figure out, is the Penima talking about and interior of the wall, or the Penima and the wall, which is interior? Okay, so a question now of how to properly inflect and punctuate the pasuk and what the word penima is modifying. Okay, so umi misafka le. So the Gemara says, really, that's interesting. So it comes out now that basically what we're looking at is a pasuk and a question of how to properly punctuate the pasuk and where to put the comma before the word mi penima, after the word mi penima. The Gemara says, really. So umi misafka le v'atani, we learned in a braisa. Isi ben Yehuda omer chamesh mikros betara ein lehem hechra. So there are five occurrences in the Torah where we're not sure where to put the comma. And he just quickly rattles off the five occurrences as we are now in the top of the Amud Beis. So Se'ez, Meshuk, Hadim, Achar, Arur, V'kam. And we're going to go through all the psukim inside. We're going to see them all together. The Gemara right now is bothered because we have five occurrences where we're not sure where to put the comma. And guess what? The Pasuk of Melachim is not one of those five occurrences. So the Gemara says, so how can you tell me that we're not sure where to put the Pasuk? And meanwhile, this is not one of the five. So the Gemara says, okay, the Hatanya, who Yosef, and oh, by the way, in other words, we just quoted a Braisa quoting Isi ben Yehuda. Now, the Gemara earlier, when struggling with that pasuk in Malachim, so it was quoting Yosef Ish Hutzal. Okay, so they're two different Tanaim, right? So the Gemara says, no, that's not right. It's one and the same Tana, the Hatanya. And the Gemara on the top of the Amud Beis makes this point very clear. We learned in a Braisa. Who Yosef Ishutzal, who Yosef Abavli, who Isi ben Yehuda, who Isi ben Gur Aryeh, who Isi ben Gamliel, who Isi ben Mahalal, Umashmo, Isi ben Akiva Shmo. Okay, so he had a lot of AKAs. Okay, I don't know why it is. He had so many nicknames, a proliferation of nicknames. Whatever the case is, okay, so it's one and the same person. So now, we should all be a little bit confused, meaning we are struggling. It's all been one question so far this morning, right? The entirety of the Amud Aleph is really just trying to figure out the Amitrox in space that the wall itself encompasses. So is it have the status of the kosher, the Kodesh HaKadoshim? And the Gemara says, well, it's really going to be predicated on how to understand the Pasuk in Malachim. When the Navi is giving us the description of the first base of Mikdash, so it describes that wall. The wall over here in the context of the pasuk is called the Dvir. And then it says, Mi Panima. Is the Panima talking about the space interior of the wall? Or is the word Mi Panima talking about the actual wall itself? Unclear. But the Gemara says, okay, I hear that. But meanwhile, we have a Mesorah, that Isi ben Yehuda, who happens to be the same person as Yosef Ishutzal. So they have a suffix in terms of whether or not they are of where to put the comma. But there are only five occasions in all of Torah where he has a suffix, and this is not one of the five occasions. So that's what bothers the Gemara. The answer actually happens to be extraordinarily simple. So the Gemara says, "Bidaraisa leika b'dinaviya ika." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, when dealing with pesukim in the Torah, meaning chamisha chumshei Torah, so there are five in total. Outside of chumash, there are others." The Mesorah that we have, that I only have five psukim where I don't know where to put the comma. So that's in Chumash. And once you're past Chumash, there are others as well. It's very simple, very simple solution. Okay, now, we have just a little bit more to go before we get up to the Mishnah. But let's just pause right now and let's go through the various psukim where we're unsure in terms of where the comma should go. Number one says, okay, so take a look at Rashi on the very top of the Amud. So Rashi writes on the Amud Beis, Haloim Tetiv Seis, Seif, Lashon Slichahu. So this is now Kayin Hevel. Kayin just got done murdering Hevel. And Akash Baruch Hu gives him a little bit of Musar. And the Musar is that Im Tetiv Seis. So if you're good, so Seis. Now, what does that mean? So if we're putting the Seis on the first half of the Pasuk, so it's very simple. So what it means is Lashon Slichahu. Meaning, look, well, right, you're gonna make mistakes, but meanwhile, if you're good, presumably it means tshuva. But in other words, but if you end up doing the right thing, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forgive you. That's what the word se'is means. Literally to lift you up. Oh, se'is im lotativ. Or maybe no. Maybe what we're going to do is that we're going to put the comma before the word se'is, right? Im tativ, comma, and se'is im lo se'tiv. Elashon isyas avanhu. And that means to say that, look, you're going to have to bear. What are you going to have to bear? You're going to have to bear the burden if you're not good. Okay, so that is that's the first example where we're unsure where the comma goes. Okay. Hopefully you're wondering at this point in time, how are we unsure where the comma goes? Meaning we have something called trup. So, you open up a chumash, not a Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah does not have the trup, but you open up a chumash, so it's punctuated for us, right? We have all the trup. Happens to be not one of my expertise. In fact, there are many things that are not my expertise. But we know the basics, and that what the trup provides for us is a way to inflect and properly punctuate the Torah. So we know the true meaning of the Torah. So, did they have trup or did they not have trup? Okay. Now, that's a loaded question, and the Rishonim discuss and deliberate this very issue. Meaning, if they had trup the way we have trup, so then how could we be debating this very issue in terms of where to put the comma? Generally speaking, right? Quick trup lesson. So sof pasuk obviously means that we're at the end of the pasuk. That's a period, right? That we all knew. And there's also a comma. It's called an esnachta. So the esnachta is basically there to provide a pause within the pasuk. So if you look up the pasukim, so where's going to be the esnachta? So I encourage you to do so because we have the trup. The question which I'm raising, I'm not raising it. The Rishonim already discussed it. Is did they have the trup the way we did? Now the Gemara in the beginning of Megillah, we'll see it together soon enough, Mirza Hashem. So certainly gives us the indication that the trup itself is part of Halacha Moshe Misina. It's part of the Mesorah. Okay, so it gets a little bit tricky. It's really not that straightforward. It's not that easy to come up with a clear presentation in terms of whether or not they were operating with the same trup that we're operating with. Okay, so. But if you think about it, by the way, there are only five occasions in total where we're a little bit unclear where it goes. So you can make the very simple argument that they did have trup, same way we did. And it's just a question now on five occasions, right? There are hundreds, there are over 300,000 letters in the Torah, 5,800 and change psukim in the Torah. So, okay. So of those times, only five of them where we're a little bit unsure in terms of where to adjust a comma. That's pretty good statistics. Okay, so that's a large discussion to be had over here. Okay, so that was one. Number two, Mishukadim. Let's just quickly run through the other four. So Mishukadim, so almond design. Okay, you can't ask me. I don't know. I don't know what an almond design is. But meanwhile, so the Torah describes, you can see Rashi over here, second Rashi, Mishukadim. He writes, Arba Gvi Mishukadim, O Mishukadim Kaftara Pracheha. So what has to be almond designed? So you can put the comma on the right after Meshukadim, and so the Gviim, right? There are various ornamentations of the menorah. There's the Gvia, there's the Kaftor, there's the Perach. Okay, good. You have a nice picture of the menorah. You're going to see these kinds of ornamentations, and a question of which one is going to have the almond design. Again, I'm not really sure what I'm talking about, but it doesn't matter. In other words, is the Mishukadim modifying the Gviya? Is it modifying the Kaftara Pracha? And again, it's just a simple question of whether you're going to put the comma before the word Mishukadim or after the word Mishukadim. Okay, that's number two. Machar. Number three, this one's a really interesting one. So at the end of Parshas Bishalach, so we go to war. We go to war against the Amalek. I mean, they attacked us. And it's a really short Parsha, 9 Pesukim in total. And meanwhile, what happens over there? What happens over there is that Kadosh Baruch Hu goes and he davens for the Jewish people. And as far as the word machar, So Tsevi Ilachem, Rashi over here cites the Pasuk. Tsevi Ilachem Ba'amalek, Machar. So go and do battle with Amalek Machar. And now the comma is going to go after the word Machar, which means that the Machar is a modification on when we're going to go to battle. Now, that one's a little bit unclear, meaning if they're attacking us today, so how is it good that we're going to go to battle tomorrow? What about today? Okay. That's one possibility. Otsevi Ilachem Ba'amalek Miyad. Or the other alternative is, look, you'll go do battle today, and then comma, and then machar nochi nitzav. And you know, tomorrow I'm going to go daven. Okay. Either pshat that I offer you, it's really strange. Meaning either we'll go to battle tomorrow, right? The machar is modifying the battle, which means today, I don't know. Unclear what's happening today. Or the other possibility is, hey, we'll go to battle today, and then Machar and tomorrow is modifying Moshe davening for the Jewish people. Why won't he daven today? Okay. Either pshat is really difficult, but again, it's the third suffix of where the comma goes before or after the Machar. Rashi says over at Tsunami Krushur. So this is taking us now back to the beginning, not the beginning, but the middle of the last parsha of Sefer Bereishis, Parshas Vayechi. So Yaakov is giving the brachas. Although the brachas that he's giving to the first three are not exactly brachas, but anyway, over at Sonam Akru Shor, so Arur Shor Shoshchem, Shohume Arur Kanan. So you could take the word Arur, put the comma after the word Arur, and so what did they do? So Akru Shor Arur. So they took out the Shor Arur. The Shor Arur is a reference to Shechem. Shimon and Levi took out Shechem, and the Arur is modifying Shechem. In other words, Shechem, because they come from Canaan. We know that Canaan was cursed. So all the descendants of Canaan, which include Shechem, are also going to be cursed. That's one possibility. The other possibility, or Arur Apamkias, or the Arur is going on the anger that was demonstrated by Shimon and Levi, meaning they acted out of anger, and Yaakov was critical of their decision. We already know this, by the way. Yaakov was critical at the time, but even upon his deathbed, he's also critical as well. Okay, so that's the fourth example of we're not sure where the comma goes and what in fact is Arur modifying. And finally, Vikam. So Hincha Shochev Im Avasecha Vikam, the very end of the Sefer Torah. Right. So one possibility is that you are going to you're going to lie with your forefathers, meaning Kadosh Baruch Hu's telling Moshe you're going to die. Vikam, but you're also going to get up as well. Meaning, what is that a reference to? So Rashi points out that's a reference to Tchias HaMeisim. That's one possibility. The other possibility is Vikam Ha'ama Zevizana. The other possibility is that this nation's going to get up and they're going to be over to Avodah Zarah. Okay, that's the other possibility. So once again, the question of where the comma goes. Okay. So five occurrences in Chumash where we are unsure in terms of where exactly the comma belongs. And the reason why we got here is because of the uncertainty that we had in the Pasuk in Malachim, where we were unsure where the comma goes before or after the word Panima. And that affects and influences whether or not the area of the Amatraxon had the status of being Kodesh HaKadoshim, or was it considered immediately before the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Meaning, the status of the area is just a Heichal. Okay, just a little bit more before we get to the next Mishnah. Over the Raisa Lake of Aika, the Gemara says, now you're telling me that by Chumash only five times and we're not sure where to put the comma in? So the Gemara says, Va'ika Dabai Rav Chista. So the Gemara says, okay, Rav Chista asks the question, Va'ishlach is Narei Bnei Yisrael, Vayelu alos kvasim, vayizbichu zvachim, shlamim, parim. So the word parim over there, what is it modifying? So is it modifying the shlamim, or is it going on both the shlamim and the olos? Odilma idividi parim. So the Gemara says, okay, so now what comes out is that according to Rav Chista, that's another occasion. So the Gemara says, that's great. So the Gemara says, Rav Chista masafkalei, Lisi ben Yehuda pshitalei. So the Gemara says, fine. So Rav Chista had another example. That's not our discussion. Our discussion is the sfeikos that were had by Isi ben Yehuda. Okay, so Rav Chista had another one. or different ones. Fine. Okay, Adkan. That takes us to the end of the first half of today's daf. Right? Pretty quick, pretty straightforward. We only entertained one question. We came to no conclusion on the one question that we asked. So the Amatrox in the area of the Amatrox, in which again, in the Mishkan and the first base of Mikdash, actual wall occupied space. But for the second base of Mikdash, according to the Chachamim of our Mishnah, so it was a curtain flanking the area. So the area itself has a status of Kodesh, or the status of Kodesh HaKadoshim. And the answer is unsure. The Gemara is not clear in terms of what status does it have. And what it's predicated on is the question of where to put the comma in the pasuk in Malachim. And then by way of connection, we talked about Isi ben Yehuda and the five times in Chumash where he was not sure where the comma actually goes. Okay? Tosfos is bothered, by the way, over here. The way the Gemara presents to us these five psukim, so they're not in the order of the Chumash. It's right. Tosfos is bothered. What order did the Gemara present it to us? Certainly not the way it is found in Chumash chronologically. Okay. We start with the next Mishnah. We're in the Mishnah Nun Beis Amud Beis. Hachitzon Aisa Prufa Min Adarum Upinimus Min Hatzafon. So as Rashi points out over here, the first Rashi in the Mishnah. So this Mishnah is following the sheet of the Chachamim, not the sheet of Rabbi Yossi. And so that means to say now that there's going to be an opening on the southern side as you're walking from the Heichal into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the outer curtain was Prufa Min Adarum. It was kind of pinned back a little bit from the south, obviously allowing entrance. And Upanimus Min Hatzafon. The more interior curtain was pinned back on the north side. So Mehalach Mehaneim Hashem Agil Hatzafon. So now, as we continue the route of the Kohen Gadol, so over here he enters into the southern side. He's walking now between the two curtains, and he's going to be coming out on the northern side. Higil Hatzafon Hofech Panav L'Darom. And now, as he gets all the way to the northern side, now he's walking into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he's going to be making two quick left-hand turns. Meaning basically now he's going to head back southbound. Mahalach l'smolo im paroches achu magia la'aron. And he's now going to have the curtain on his left-hand side, right? If you're visualizing this, you can see this pretty clearly, until he gets to the aron, until he gets to the area of the aron. Now, I already gave away the answer, meaning the question the Gemara is going to ask is, there was no aron in the second base of Mikdash, so how can the Mishnah be describing the Aaron being over there? Okay, so, right, whatever. I didn't mean to spoil it, but the answer is that the Aaron wasn't there. It's the area of the Aaron. Okay, sorry. So, Higiel Aaron Osen Esamachta Ben Shnei Abadim. And so what he's going to do now is that he's going to get to the Aaron, meaning the area that immediately corresponds to the Aaron, and he's going to put the shovel down right between the two poles. The Aaron has two poles going through it, for the purposes of carrying. Once the Aron itself now settles in the base of Mikdash, so it's not going to be carried, but the pole still stay there. And Savras HaKataros Agabe Gachalem, and now what he's going to do is that he's going to lay the Kataros right on top of the coals, Vinismali Kol Abayis Kulo Ashan, and now the house is going to be filled with smoke, and Yatsa Uvalo Bederech Beis Kenisa So, and now he makes an exit, because now he has he has filled the Kodesh HaKadoshim with smoke. That now allows him to go in with the Dam Seer and the Dam Par, which is coming up in the upcoming Mishnayos. And now he's exiting. So he goes out the same way he came in. Now, obviously, in other words, there's no other route, but he goes in reverse. He walks backwards. Umispal Tfilah Ketzara Beis Achitzon. Now, while in the Heichal, so he's going to dive in a quick Tfilah. However, he's not going to be spending too much time davening, even though it is an unbelievable opportunity to daven, but he's not going to be spending a lot of time davening, as he will be scaring everybody. In other words, did he survive? Did he not survive? Right? Unfortunately, the answer was sometimes they didn't survive. So if he spends a lot of time davening over there, so everyone's going to wonder, is... Yeah, we don't find that in the. I'm familiar with that as well. It must be a medrash. It's not in the Gemara.
If you think about it, the rope was attached, the route of various because it has to go through all these paths you're arguing about.
Yeah. Again, it's not in the Gemara. So I suppose it's a medrash. Okay, I don't know. All right. One thing we can one thing we I can contribute in terms of the Mishnah is the Tosfos Yeshanim. Tosfos Yeshanim over here, it's a wonderful question, wonderful answer. It seemingly it's arbitrary, meaning here's what the goal is. The goal obviously is to get into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and so there's an opening on the south and there's an opening on the north, and first of all, can't the two openings be on the same side? Well, it kind of ties into what we discussed yesterday. Well, if the opening were on the same side, if both curtains were opened up on the north, so then that would allow the person to have a direct vantage point of view if they're standing in the Heichal to see the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And that we would like to we would like to prevent that, meaning at its nearest of the Aron, so we don't want the opening to be on the same side. Now, granted, by the way, that if you happen to subscribe, if you're Reb Yossi, and you happen to subscribe to the idea that there's only one partition, so obviously wherever that opening is, it's going to allow for a vantage point. Maybe there's a curtain over that area, could be, I don't know, and I'd simply be guessing. But we are right now operating with two curtains, so to have both openings either on the north or on the south, so that we would like to avoid because we don't want anyone to have a vantage point into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That part's clear. But why is the outer opening on the south and the interior opening on the north? So the Tosfos Yeshanim writes over here, you can see it inside, right? I got my glasses on, I'm good today. So Hachitzona Prufa Min Adarim, Aval Ibcha Lo Metzino LeMe'eved. So the Tosfos Yeshanim says, but we're not going to do it in the reverse. Meaning have the exterior curtain opening on the north and the interior opening on the south. And why not? Because we know that once he goes inside, so he's going to be walking where his side of his body is going to be towards the Aron. Which side? So that's what the Chachamim wanted. The Chachamim wanted his right side to be facing the Aron. Right side, obviously, the more dominant, both in general and certainly by the Kohen Gadol, his right side is going to be dominant. In other words, for him to be doing the Avoda, he has to be right-handed. And generally, right. And my apologies to you left-handed people, but the Torah clearly shows the favor to the right-hand side. Mimino ish taslamo. So anyway, what the Chachamim wanted is that as the Kohen Gadol now is going to be walking, where side is facing the Aron, they wanted the right side to face the Aron. So the only way that could be configured is only if the interior opening is going to be on the north, so that now when as he's walking southbound, his right shoulder is going to be facing the Aron. That's the Tosfos Yeshanim. We're not looking at the same thing right now. So what? In other words, he's coming from the interior out on the north hand side, right? So yes. Okay. Okay. Good. So that is it's just a wonderful explanation in terms of why it is specifically north south. Or as you're walking in, south-north. Okay, anyway, B'maya Skinan. We are just going to finish up to the two dots today. We're starting with the Gemara. So our Mishnah is describing what? First base of Mikdash, second base of Mikdash. Now, it is a funny question because generally speaking, when we're dealing with Mishnayos, Mishnayos are describing the second base of Mikdash, right? The Mishnah Midos, right? Someone just showed me. Right, someone out of Baltimore just put out a new sefer on the second base of Mikdash. Really, really well researched. Anyway, okay. Right, I'd like to credit the sefer and the author. I looked at it really briefly. Anyway, so generally speaking, the Mishnayos are describing the second base of Mikdash. Right, the Mishnayos and Midos, which we went through extensively. So it is a clear description of the second base of Mikdash, not the first base of Mikdash. So to ask the question, is our Mishnah describing Bais Rishon or is it describing Bais Sheni? We already know the answer. But, okay, so it's kind of like a setup question, if you will. So, B'mayiskin and Ilim have been Mikdash Rishon, so me have a paroches. So, look, in the first base of Mikdash, there was no paroches, there was no curtain, meaning everyone agrees by the first base of Mikdash, there was an amatraxin. It was an actual physical wall that demarcated the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So Ela B'Mikdash Sheni. So it's talking about the second base of Mikdash. So Mi Havi Aron. So the Gemara says, okay, was there an Aron in the second base of Mikdash? Now we know the answer. So this is something which we did extensively back in Shkalim, right? The Yerushalmi Shkalim spent a lot of time with this, and good. And now, next Masechta in Yuma, we get to review. V'hatani, we learned on a Braisa. So, Mishinignaz, Aaron Nignaza Imo. So, when he went ahead and put the Aaron in Geniza. So, first of all, who's the he? So, it's Yoshiyahu HaMelech. Yoshiyahu HaMelech, one of the last kings of the first Beis HaMikdash period, right? To his sons and a nephew ruled after him, but that's it. In other words, he was one of the last. So he knew that the Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed. The impending destruction was pretty clear. And so what he wanted to do is that he didn't want the destroyers of the Beis HaMikdash to go out with the Aaron. So what did he do? He took the Aaron, he put it in Geniza. He hid it. Right? Remember those Mishnayos and Shkalim that we did? There was seemingly some evidence that it was hid somewhere in the area of the Beis HaMikdash, subterranean. Right? One of the tiles was off tilt. Right? Right? And one of the Kohanim felt that he was ready to report this news. Okay? And the Mishnah and Shkalim described that the Kohen wasn't able to report the news. The Kadosh Baruch Hu made sure of that. Anyway, so Yoshiyahu went ahead and how did they know? That's a good question. Right? They felt that much information is important for us to know. No more than that. So the Mishinigna Zaron, so when he, Yoshiyahu HaMelech, went ahead and took the Aaron and put in Geniza, so other things went into hiding as well. So Nignaza Imot and Senes Aman, right? The glass jar of the man, right? They kept a keepsake of the man so that we're reminded that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of us in the desert for 40 years. Tzuch Shemen HaMishcha, also the jar of the Shemen HaMishcha, Shemen HaMishcha, which is used to anoint Kohen Gadol, some kings. So it was the same Shemen HaMishcha that was prepared by Moshe Rabbeinu. Back in Shkalim, we spent a lot of time going over the preparation of the Shemen HaMishcha. It was put into Geniza. So once it was put into Geniza, so how did they anoint kings after that? And how did they anoint Kohen Gadol after that? The answer is they didn't use the Shemen HaMishcha. And the truth of the matter is that there wasn't much to anoint afterwards anyway. So the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed shortly thereafter. Umaklo shel Aaron ushkedel precheha, and also the staff of Aaron. This is taking us to Parshas Korach. So after the debate, the dispute in terms of who should be doing the avoda, everybody presented a staff, and the staff of Aaron went ahead and blossomed. And the second time today, we're talking about the Shkedim, about the almonds. Okay, a daf with almonds. So the meanwhile, so that was also kept as a keepsake to remind ourselves that the Kohanim were the chosen ones. And finally, Arga Sheshagu Plishtim Doron LaLakei Yisrael Shenemer Uklei Zahav Asher Hashivosam Lo Asham Tasimo BaArgaz Amitzido. Okay, and also the Aaron that was given by the Plishim. After the Plishim, they took the Aaron. They won a battle. They took the Aaron, and they didn't do well with the Aaron in their possession. Right? They suffered terribly. They gave back the Aaron, and they also built an Aaron. They took the Luchos, and they built an Aaron in order to return it. And so fine, and that Aaron also was kept for many years. And Yoshiyahu also put that in Geniza as well. Umi Ganzu, Yoshiyahu Ganzu, and after going through the Braisa, the Gemara now identifies that it was Yoshiyahu. Ma Rasha Ganzu, Rasha Kasov, Yolecha Hashem, Osach, Vesmakacha, Asher Takim Alecha, Lechol, sorry, Asher Takim Alecha, Amad Veganzo. So he basically read the tea leaves, or better yet, he read the Tochacha. So the Tochacha says that all this is going to be handed over to a foreign nation, meaning the Tochacha tells us about the impending destruction, and he knew. In other words, he had the historical perspective that he knew that the impending destruction was coming, and so therefore he put it all in Geniza. Okay, good. Shenemar vayomer levim amivinim hakodesh bebayis asher banah Shlomo ben David melech Yisrael ein lachem. So in some site, another pasuk in terms of him putting it in the Geniza. V'amar Rav Elazar Asya Shama Shama Vasya Doris Doris Vasya Mishmaris Mishmaris. And now, as far as the Aron being put in Geniza, so that was one pasuk. And then we're through a series of Gzeirah Shavas. Okay, now when we say Gzeirah Shavas over here, Gzeirah Shavas connecting the various items that Yoshiyahu put in Geniza. So right, Rashi over here goes to the Psukim. I'm not going to go through the Psukim right now, but the various Psukim connecting all of them together with you know, hyperlinks, one word connection, one connecting the other. So fine. So what comes out from all this discussion now is that already by the end of the first Beis HaMikdash, there was no Aron. I mean, there was. It just was. It wasn't in place. It wasn't in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So now our Mishnah is describing what? So we're confused right now what the Mishnah is describing. On one hand, the Mishnah is describing a paroches, which is clearly talking about Bayis Sheni. The Mishnah also describes how you're going to be putting the Ketores down. You're going to be putting first the Machta, first the Shovel. You're going to be putting it down, Bein HaBadim, right between the poles. Okay? You're putting it down between the poles. The poles of what? The Aron? There was no Aron in the Bayis Sheni. So, we're confused. So, La'olam b'Mikdash Sheni. So the Gemara says that we're talking about Mikdash Sheni. Umay higia la'aron makom aron. And so now, when it says that he got to the aron, it means where the aron once upon a time took that spot. But in other words, it's the makom aron, it's not the aron itself. So the Gemara says, yeah, what about the poles? Right? Sounds like from the Mishnah, he placed the machta between the poles. So the Gemara says, Ema kibin shnei habadim. And so the very very simple, meaning that not where the poles are, but where the poles were. Okay, that's how you're going to have to read the Mishnah. Fine. So when all said and done, even though the Mishnah gives a description of the Kohen Gadol walking now, stopping right where the right in front of the Aron, right in front of the two poles. So in terms of a good pshat in our Mishnah, it means where the Aron once was, where the poles were once upon a time were. Okay, Adkan. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up at the two dots. Let's quickly review. Review of today's daf, very straightforward. First half of today's daf, a simple question with no answer. And that is that the Amatraxin, the area of that wall, which was an Amah wide, is that area have the status of the Kosher or the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So at first the Gemara thought, well, when the Pasuk was describing the first base of Mikdash, 40 Amas, 20 Amas, in terms of its length. So maybe the question was, the Amatraxin was part of the 40, part of the 20. The Gemara says no. 40-20 that's being described over there is only the interior space. It's not describing the areas of the wall. And now it's just a simple question of, when you read the Pasuk in Malachim, and it says that the Devir was Besocha Bais Mi Penima, the Penima is modifying what? The space of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Or is it talking about the actual wall itself? And it's just a question of where to put the comma. Proper placement of the comma would indicate what it's modifying. Okay. And while we were there, the Gemara quoted, according to Isi Ben Yehuda, five occasions in Chumash where we're unsure where the comma goes. Does the comma go before the word, after the word? And we went through the five occurrences in Chumash where he had this uncertainty. And outside of Chumash, there are other uncertainties as well, including the one that we're describing. But in Chumash, he had five. We raised the question, didn't they have trop? Okay, it's an important question. It's a difficult question to answer. Good. The second half of today's daf, we continue with the Kohen Gadol now, basically going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We talked about the route that he took. Our Mishnah here on today's daf is clearly subscribing, Rashi says this, is clearly subscribing to the Shita of the Chachamim, that there were two curtains. Opening on the exterior one was on the south. Opening on the interior one was in the north. And we just simply followed the path of the Kohen Gadol, going in through from the south side, walking between the curtains, coming out on the north side, then making a left-hand turn, another left-hand turn, walking with his left shoulder facing the curtain, with his right shoulder facing the Aron, until he got to the point of the Aron. And what we look to clarify in today's Gemara was until he got to the center of the Aron, there was no Aron over there. Yoshiyahu took the Aron together with other items and put in Geniza, knowing about the impending destruction. So the Gemara says, fine, Pshat in the Mishnah is where the Aron once upon a time was. Okay, Adkan.